Jeff, would you open the service in a word of prayer, please?
Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. It's incredible to be able to thank this church, this sister in Christ, Lord. You pray quiet our hearts now, Lord, to serve us, Lord. Help us to lift our voices on high to you and be a pastor as it brings forth the message of his heart, Lord. We love you. Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Now, if you will, go backward in your psalm books to 212. Song 212, Oh Happy Day, 212. On the first, Oh happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy bond that seals my vows to Him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house while to that sacred shrine I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on, drawn to confess the voice divine. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Jesus washed my sins away. Now rest my long divided heart fixed on this blissful center rest. Forever from my Lord depart, with Him of every good possessed. When Jesus washed my sins away, He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. When Jesus washed my sins away.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin or a pen, something to write with, just raise your hand. We'll have someone drop one off for you. Let's go through these announcements, though. Front page, if you got a bulletin, weekly church service times. Sunday mornings are at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays are at 7 p.m. Underneath that is a list of soul winning times. The main time is Saturday mornings at 10:30, meeting right here. All the other times are subject to change. Questions, 208-391-5323. Middle of the bulletin, under announcements, this Sunday will be in 1 Kings chapter number 4 for the evening service. Don't forget, September 10th at 3 p.m. for the ladies, there is a baby shower for Miss Joanna. If you have any questions, go see Miss Jessica. Also, this Sunday evening, after the evening service, we will be having a barbecue potluck, so come hungry. Let's see, what else? Birthdays and anniversaries for August. So today is Skulk and Maribel's anniversary, and I don't see them here. But that's all right. We'll get them on Sunday. Let's Verse of the week, John 14:6, which says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We are a family-integrated church. What that means, we don't separate children from their parents for any reason. If you need privacy, there's a mother-baby room right across the hallway. Dad's still got to use this at least for another week. Let's see. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction. And the bottom line says our judgments about other people say more about our character than the people that we're judging. That was from two Sundays ago. So we're going to have the course of the week. If you don't have one of these, just raise your hand, and also we will come by and give one to you.
All right, at this time we'll be singing our chorus, Oh What a Moment.
Oh,
those who have gone before, eternal joys to share, and oh, what a song, when the blood was drawn, start singing a song the angels cannot sing. Shall fill our raptured souls that day. Oh, what a moment when we see Jesus, when we stand face to face in His embrace and thank Him for amazing grace. Oh, what a moment.
I thought we had more of those songs printed out, so apparently we need some more. We'll get that fixed next week. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to meet here this evening. I just pray that you'd bless the service, Lord, the fellowship afterwards, Lord, and please bring us back safely again this weekend. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
This time we'll be going over our prayer and praise list. Remember, if you ever have a prayer request or a praise that you want to be prayed on or that you want listed on this, be sure to write it down on a communication card, and you can drop it off in the box on your way out the door, and we'll be sure to get you on here. Now let's all bow our heads and have a word of prayer over these things together. Dear Lord God, we just want to come before you as a congregation this evening to lift up our prayers and praises to your holy name. And we want to start off by praying for opportunities to preach to unsaved family, friends, and coworkers. We pray for the health and safety of our church families. We pray for the spiritual growth and wisdom of our church. We pray that God would continue to meet our church financial needs as we grow in number and in space. We pray for the spiritual needs of our communities, that they would desire the sincere word of God and to grow in doctrine. We pray for the safety, health, understanding, and wisdom of our children as they have to grow up in this decaying world. We pray for the like-minded churches to continue to grow and be protected from those that wish us all evil. We pray for the wicked leaders in our local, state, and national governments to be removed. We pray for continued freedom when it comes to medical mandates. Pray for those having a hard time with any allergies this season and any summer colds, Lord. We also want to pray for the safe and healthy pregnancy of Miss Joanna. We pray for Miss Melissa and her unspoken prayers here, Lord. You know all the details in that, Lord. We also want to pray for the continued progress with Miss Bella's speech therapy. And we just pray that you help them find a new therapist for her. We also have an unspoken prayer for Linda. We also want to pray for the family chiropractor's son. He's waiting on a date for his heart surgery, Lord. We just pray for that, Lord. And we also want to pray for Brother Kevin's niece, Jazzy. And we want to pray for her healing. We want to pray for Miss Melissa. She has an unspoken prayer as well, Lord. You know all the details in that, Lord. And we want to pray for Brother Victor and his family and for their safe travels as they go to California. We pray that you protect them and be with them. We also want to pray for Miss Patty's family to be open to hearing the gospel. And she also has three unspoken prayers here, Lord. We just want to pray for that, Lord. And you know all the details in those things, Lord. Pray for that, Lord, and we pray that you meet your needs in those situations. We also have an unspoken prayer for Miss Rachel, Lord. We pray that you meet her needs in that situation. And we also want to pray for the upcoming church soul winning event. And we pray that people would have their hearts softened in hearing the gospel, and that you lead us to those that would be receptive. We want to pray that your course is ran with this monkeypox virus going around amongst the sodomite community. We also want to pray for the health and well-being of Brother Joe Maple's family. Pray for them and any healing that they need, Lord. We pray for the health and safety of those who watch and support us online. We pray for Joseph Knight over in the UK and his wife. They desire children, Lord. We pray that you bless them with that. And we also want to pray for them as they have to deal with the big sodomite vexation that they have to go through over there, Lord. We pray for them, and we just pray that you protect them from those things. And we also want to lift up our praises to your holy name, Lord. We want to praise you for all of our church families and those we've been able to get saved. We thank you, Lord, for our freedom to continuously preach the gospel every week and for you keeping us safe during the battles we all fight. And we want to thank you for exposing those who would come to the church to do harm or cause division and discord, Lord. We just thank you that they're not here anymore, Lord, and that they wouldn't be here to cause trouble. And we also want to praise you, Lord, for the two unspoken prayer requests that were answered for Miss Patty. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right, please turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible reads, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door of the shepherd of the sheep, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Brother Moses, will you pray first, please?
All right. Amen. John chapter number 10. If you would, look at verse number 10. The Bible says this, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, you don't have to turn there. We're going to go over what led up to this here in just a second. But I want to read one proverb for you very quickly, and that's Proverbs chapter 29, verse 24, which says, Whoso is a partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. Now, the title of the sermon this evening, who's ever heard of the office of the commander-in-chief? Who's ever heard that term, the commander-in-chief? Probably everybody in here. The title of the sermon this evening is The Demander and Thief. Okay, the demander and thief. And really what this sermon is about, it's about the Christian response in politics. What can or should our attitude be regarding the office of the president in politics in general? How to handle discussions. I'm going to teach you how to defend the way that we are in regards to certain positions and how to deal with some attacks that people often will throw our way. People love to throw the Romans 13 out and say, you know, you have no right saying bad things about the president. I'm going to show you beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is not true, okay? So if you would go to Romans chapter number 13, and we'll get talking about that here in just a second. So the title is The Demander and Thief. You know, that proverb that I read for you, it says, Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. Okay. You ever seen somebody or met somebody that, you know, is a thief, somebody that's just constantly stealing things, somebody that's just constantly after other people's glory? You know, some of you work with professional thieves. They just don't get caught. Maybe they're not stealing from the job all the time, but they're trying to steal your ideas. They're trying to steal your thoughts. They're trying to steal your culture. They're trying to steal your thought. I mean, just everything that you have, your way of life, your beliefs, they're trying to take that from you. Okay. The Bible says that those people hate their own soul. Okay, that there's a wicked person that acts like that, who is somebody that is a thief. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who steals to satisfy his own soul. I'm talking about somebody that is given over to stealing, to robbing other people. False prophets, for an example. Okay, now we just read John chapter number 10, and the verse that we started with, it says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Okay? We're going to go over those things and what they mean here in a moment. But right off the bat, in the beginning part of John chapter 1, it's very clear that Jesus is the door. He is the only way to salvation. It's not you and him. It's not a team effort. Obviously, you have to make the choice to place your faith on him. And once you do that, you are saved forever. But any other way, okay, whether you say, oh, it's by repenting of sins or by following this man or whatever it is, you are a robber. That's what the Bible is saying. He's saying, you know, those people who are trying to get into the kingdom of heaven some other way other than Christ, they are robbers, okay? And then I'll get into why I'm going over this here in a little bit. But that's the initial application. The Bible's describing for us what a thief is, what a robber is, and that's going to come into play here in a little while. Now, let me just start off by saying, me personally, you know, I don't vote for anybody who supports, obviously, abortion, who supports trannies, who wants to support these sodomite freaks. I'm not voting for them. If I ever find out that that's something they've stood for, I'm not going to vote for them. I don't waste my time. I'm an ambassador for Christ. We are ambassadors, okay? We need to realize first and foremost that this world is not our home. We represent the kingdom of heaven. But that does not mean that we cannot have opinions. That does not mean that we cannot preach truth. And that does not mean that we just have to roll over and take whatever the government decides to throw at us. Is that what Daniel did when they made the law that said, you know what, you're not worshiping your God? Otherwise, we're going to tell Darius. Did he just roll over or did he keep doing what he knew he ought to do? Did the disciples, did Peter, when they were commanded by the chief priests and the rulers to not preach the gospel, did they say, okay, you know, because I want to be respectful to the government, I'm just going to stop preaching the gospel? No, they said we ought to obey God rather than men. And this is where Christianity today has gone wrong. And the reason why they've gone wrong is because this type of preaching is why there's empty chairs in a lot of churches like ours today. It's not popular. It is not in season. But I'm telling you, it is the truth. Now, you do whatever you want. You know, I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. In fact, I know most of you. Yeah, and I could already tell. But more on that here in a little bit. But what should the believer's attitude be in regards to offices, in regards to positions of power? Let's take a look at that in Romans chapter number 13. So if you would, look down at verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Keep your place there, but go real quickly to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. I heard somebody one time say this, and I'm not kidding. They said, Romans chapter 13 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the powers." That means that as believers, we're supposed to tell the world to be submissive to the president and to, you know, the prime ministers or whatever countries, you know, that's out there. We're supposed to tell them to just be, you know, submitted unto them without question. Okay, that who here thinks that's what that means? Obviously, it's not what that means, okay? Now, if you would have read Romans chapter number 1, you would first and foremost understand who this book is written to, which is very important, not just the Romans, but look at verse number 7. Look at what Paul says after he introduces himself. He says this, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is written to believers, okay? You hand somebody who is not saved the book of Romans, sure, they're going to get some of it, but a lot of it is not going to make sense to them because they are not indwelled by the Holy Ghost, okay? The things that Jesus obviously spoke of, you know, in front of people who weren't saved, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what were they always doing? Scratching their heads, right? Like Nicodemus. You know, we talked about that the other day. He was like, born again? Do I got to go back into my mother's womb? And Jesus is like, are thou a ruler in Israel? You don't know these things, right? So obviously, this is written to the saved. So with that in mind, go back to chapter number 13, and let's read verse 1 again. So verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about higher powers, positions of authority, okay? He says, for there is no power but of God. Okay, Jesus did, I mean, did he not tell Pilate that? Right, Pilate had a big chip on his shoulder and was like, I've got the power to do what I want. And Jesus is like, actually, you don't. The only reason you're even here is because my Father gave you that power. And he that delivered me to thee hath the greater sin. So, with that in mind, look at the rest of the verse. It says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And so, with that being said, I would definitely agree, and I would definitely say, the office of the president, which is a position of power, the office of the Supreme Court, you know, the seats in the Senate, so on and so forth, all the way down to your local government, those offices, those positions of power are ordained by God for a purpose, okay? But notice what this verse does not say. It does not say that their actions are ordained by God. It does not say that. Look at the verse again. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, you're going to see this word come up here in a little bit in verse number 3, and it's the word rulers. Okay, let me just get this out of the way. You do a study on the word ruler in the Bible. You're going to find there were rulers of the synagogue. The Pharisees were called rulers. Herod's called a ruler. Pilate. I mean, ruler means somebody in charge, somebody with some authority. Okay, so here's why I'm bringing this up. Let's say people, who's ever met an anarchist before? Somebody who thinks there should be no government. It's just a free-for-all. Okay, there was a famous UFC fighter. His name's Jeff Monson. Big old guy, you know, just a big buff guy, and he was notorious for that belief system. The reason why I'm bringing him up is because he's from Western Washington, where we're from, and he's gotten himself in trouble numerous times with the authorities because he despises the powers. You know, spray painting things and just being malicious to the Capitol building, you know, just always talking about overthrowing these offices, so on and so forth. That's not the position of a believer. We are not here to physically overthrow anyone in office, though we want several people thrown out of office, okay? We have the right to have that view, right? We have the right to have those feelings. We have the right to talk about those things, but we don't have the right to actually go forth and lead an insurrection and things of that nature. Why? Because again, we are here as ambassadors, okay? Think about ambassadors. You know, ambassadors that come here from other countries or ambassadors that are sent from here to, you know, these other nations. You know, actually, that could be a whole other sermon because some of those are over there trying to sway, you know, actions and stuff like that. And that is part of it, right? We are ambassadors. We are here to proclaim truth. We are here to preach the gospel to the lost and to edify believers and to bring people into truth. That is very true. We're definitely here to do that. But we're not here to do it by physical force. Jesus, when he comes back, he will take care of that. He will implement his rule with a rod of iron, okay? So anyways, going back to verse number 1, we need to understand that positions of power are ordained in general by the Lord for a reason, okay? And that would even include the office of a pastor or a deacon, an evangelist, things of this nature, a church secretary, you know, church employees, okay? You know, for example, let's say we hire Caden to be part-time or to run that whole thing back there and to do a bunch of stuff, and we start hiring other people, okay? If somebody were to come in here and be like, I'm not going to listen to that guy. I'm going to go back there and play on a computer and tweak the camera and do all this other stuff. I'm going to get involved in Jeff and David's music ministry and just kind of, you know, mess it up. That would be a problem, okay? You would literally be fighting against God. Okay, because it's clear in the Bible, you know, that the positions inside the church are a real thing. They are allowed, you know, and that also brings to mind a lot of these guys that are out there on the internet today saying, well, church is just where two or three are gathered together. There's no pastors. There's no bishops. There should be no authority. It should just be a level playing field. Everybody just kind of chilling out in life. Okay, I've proven that to be false several times in this church. But anyways, I would also fit those people as violating verse number one, violating the powers of God. But let's let go of that here and look at verse number two. So he says this, in verse number two, Paul says this to the Romans, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now stop right there. I don't have time to go through the Bible on that word, but every time you see the word damnation, it does not always mean you're going to go to hell. It means judgment, okay? That's what it means. So for example, let's go back to Jeff Monson, you know, Mr. UFC fighter who's an anarchist, right? How many times has he been in trouble for trying to physically overthrow or to violate, you know, the Capitol building or whatever it is? You know, I mean, what about when these Antifa people get caught blowing things up? You know, when they actually get caught by the police and they do their job and they arrest them, there are consequences for that. But what is their ideology? What are they always saying? We want the office gone. We want the authority gone completely. And the Bible's simply saying that God has put people in positions of power to deal with that type of unrest. Okay, now here's the definition and here's the intent. Here's the job description of a ruler. Verse number three. The Bible says this, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now that's some good wisdom for all of us, okay? So for example, as long as you're not working for some complete psychopath or something like this, if you just do what you're told, keep your head down, learn your job, have that extra mile mentality, you will go far in life. You will get promoted because God blesses that, okay? So that kind of takes care of the last part of the verse, but let's talk about the beginning of the verse again. For rulers, okay, people of authority, for rulers are not a terror to good works. Okay, so here, so if somebody asks you, hey, what is the job description of a ruler? What is, what are they supposed to do? What's the definition? You could definitely use this, for rulers are not a terror to good works. So for example, let's say after the service, I hand out a test to everyone. And I say, hey, answer this question. What are rulers? Are they terrors to good works? And you said, yes, you'd fail, right? They are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Okay, so rulers or positions of power were set up on earth with the intent that they would terrorize, if you will, evil, wickedness, people that commit crimes. Okay, now let me ask you a question about Dirty Riding Biden and his dirty cabinet. Is he a terror to good works? Absolutely. He is terrorizing good works, as well, obviously, as those that control him. Okay, you say, what are good works? How about admitting that there's male and female? Okay, you know that's a good work today. You know, admitting that God hath made them both male and female. To argue that is not a good work. To try to overturn that is not a good work. Okay, the moment someone does that, and more, okay, and we haven't even gotten started yet. Okay, this guy hates fundamentalism. Joe Biden hates Jesus Christ. He hates everything that's in the Bible and everything that this church stands for. And I'm telling you right now, him and his cronies would love nothing more than to take away our tax exemption. Say, look, take the money. I don't care because I'm still going to preach what the Word of God says no matter what. I really don't care. I don't care about YouTube views. I don't care about nothing. All I care about is what's written in this book and that the message gets out. That's what I care about. That is being instant, in season and out of season, and that's the type of church we're going to build despite what the media says, despite what the mayor says, and despite what this culture says, despite what this idiot who is the demander and thief has to say. He terrorizes good works. He is trying to make it legal for a child to say, you know what, I want to transition from male to female or female to male without parental consent. So is he, by definition, a terror to good works? Absolutely. He is terrorizing good works. So let me ask you the question then. Is he a ruler? No. He is not a ruler. He has violated the office of commander-in-chief, which God has established. Therefore, by definition, he is not a ruler. Rather, he is a robber. I mean, look, I understand the basic concept, the initial application of John chapter 10, verse 1 all the way down to 10 through the rest of the chapter. Jesus is the only way. Once you're saved, you are always saved. You are not saved by works. He said he is the door. Okay, but he gives you so much insight other than that by describing what a thief is and what a robber is. So what does he say? He says, hey, anybody who tries to come up some other way, anybody who tries to take another route, who tries to violate what I've said, and I am the Word of God, that's what he said. He is the Word. Anybody who deviates from that, who goes outside of that, who wants to circumvent that, is a robber. That's what the Bible says. So the Bible says right here, this is the Word of God. Jesus endorsed these words. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Literally, Dirty Riding Biden takes everything that is righteous, everything that is holy, everything that is good, and flips it around and turns it on his head and stands up for evil. He is terrorizing the good and praising the wicked.
Right.
How in the world could you have somebody in a position of power in the office of health secretary who was born a man trying to act like a woman? You can chop off whatever you want. You can take as many drugs as you want to, but you will never change those chromosomes, and that's impossible. And guess what? That type of truth right there is enough to get you banned on YouTube, to get you banned or canceled from society, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because that's truth. Somebody needs to stand up and say this type of stuff. We need some people in this country today with a backbone. People that are courageous. People that are content with what they have. People that are consistent regarding truth. That is what we need today. And we're not going to get that from this lily-livered, watered-down, sissified Christianity that has permeated American and Western culture. It will not happen. Joe Biden, by definition from the Bible, is not a ruler. So when someone tells you, oh, you cursed the ruler, you said this because you called him a pedophile or whatever, you say, do you, my friend, even understand what the definition of a ruler is? Because a ruler, according to the Bible, are not a terror to good works. A ruler does not terrorize good works. A ruler does not say, you can't go out and knock on people's doors and try to get them saved. That's what this city council would love to do. They would love to stop us from door-to-door soul winning, wouldn't they? They would love nothing more than that. They would love to shut this down. And you know what? Someday they might be somewhat successful, but it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, we would all rather obey God than man. So that's what I want to establish right off the bat, that Mr. Biden is not a ruler, he is a robber by biblical definition. Now, if you would, go to Luke chapter number 13. Luke chapter number 13. And so something I kind of forgot to mention here when I read Proverbs 29:24, which says, who is partner with a thief, hateth his own soul, he heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. Okay? This is very important to understand. The type of person that is maybe around you that's like, they start cursing, not four-letter words, okay, that's not what he's talking about, but actually cursing somebody, damning them for whatever reason, okay, some unjust cause. When you see another person just kind of chuckle, like, and they don't do anything about it, that should be a huge red flag, because as soon as you leave that person, they're probably going to do the same thing to you. Think about it. Those of you who are here from the beginning, and people would somewhat curse me, oh, I don't know why he's thinking, why he said that, and blah, 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 and he gets too angry, and this and that and the other thing. There were people who heard that and did not bewrayeth it, did not call it out, did not stand up against it, did not say anything about it, and those same people, I've noticed, are gone today. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Just a little life lesson for you from that verse. So let's keep talking about this here, okay? Rulers are not a terror to good works. So if someone comes to you and they are a terror, they are terrorizing good works, you need to understand they are not a ruler. They are a robber. They have usurped the office that God has established on this earth. Now, I will admit, I do believe that it is very possible that God has allowed Dirty Riding Biden to be in that office because of the hearts and the minds and the moral decay of this country. That is very possible, okay? That is very possible. But that does not mean that we cannot call him out. That does not mean that we cannot call him what he is, okay? The guy's got an issue. The guy's got several issues. And I get it. You know, the people that are controlling him, they have probably more issues, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're all wicked. This guy is very wicked. You'd have to be a wicked reprobate to desire to take the power, to reject the power of father and mother. Think about this. He wants to reject. He wants to say, hey, look here. Oh, you're 8 years old and you want to transition. No problem. We'll pay for that. How is he not a robber when he's taking yours and my tax dollars to pay for an 8-year-old's surgery to transition from male to female or female to male? Right? What else is he robbing? He's robbing that father, he's robbing that mother, and he's robbing society of the higher power which God ordained. Look, the Bible says that the man is supposed to be the ruler of his own home. Right? And he has allowed himself, he has terrorized that office of father, that office of mother. The mother's supposed to guide her home. How is he not a robber? How is he not a thief? How has he not come to steal and to kill and to destroy? There's someone else very much like him in the Bible, and his name was Herod. Luke chapter 13, I want you to look down at verse number 31. Luke chapter 13, look at verse number 31. So the Bible says this: the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. What do you think about that? You got these guys coming to the Lord, coming to Jesus, the one who's been healing people, the one who's been preaching the kingdom of heaven, the one who has fed thousands of people, the one who has done miracles so much that if they were written down, the earth would not even be able to contain the books thereof. And these guys have come to the Son of God and said, hey, you better get out of here because Herod's going to kill you. He's like, really? I could imagine. It's like, you couldn't get me the first time? You know? You think he's going to get me this time? Couldn't get me when I was a baby. You think he's going to get me now as an adult? You're out of your mind. Of course, that's not what it says. That's just my little side commentary there. But look at verse number 32. Look at what it says. And he said unto them, don't miss this. Go ye. Remember in the King James Bible, ye, you, this is plural here. So he's talking to all of these people, says, hey, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. So here you have rulers. These are people with positions of power in the nation of Israel, or Judea, whatever you want to call it, what was left of the nation of Israel under Roman control during the time of Christ. And he says to these rulers, yeah, right. He says, in fact, I want all of you, I want ye to go back and tell Herod, that fox, that this is what I'm going to go and do. Complete disobedience to the rulers. Why is that? Because rulers are not supposed to terrorize good works. He's doing good works. Look at what it says, verse 32. Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils. That's a good work. And I do cures. Good work. Today, tomorrow, and the third day, I shall be perfected. These are all good works. These are all righteous things that our Savior was doing. Obviously. And here you have these fear-mongering people, these people from CNN that roll up and like, hey, you better get out of here, or Rachel Maddow's going to get you, right? You better get out of here, right? Remember, people were telling us that a couple months ago. You better stop saying all that stuff, or, you know, Brian Holmes is going to come down there and ambush you, or, you know, the news is going to come back. Come on down. We love publicity. You know, bring it. we don't care. We have a mission to do. They do not rule over us. But did you miss the name there that Jesus called Herod? A fox. So when you see people saying, oh, Sleepy Joe, Pedo Joe, Dirty Riding Biden, the demander and thief, you say, oh, I can't believe you would say something like that. That is so disrespectful. You're disrespecting the powers that God ordained. I'm not disrespecting the power. I'm not making it a mission in my life to say we don't need the office of a president. What, do you want to go back to dictator? Because that's pretty much what he's trying to go for. That's pretty much what his handlers are trying to go for. And we'll talk about that more here in a second. But Jesus says, hey, go ye and tell that fox. I want all of you to hear this. He says, go tell that fox. Now insert yourself back into this day. you're a Pharisee. You're the righteous of the righteous. You got your long robe. You tithe off the 10% of them in. Someone gives you a leaf. You cut off 10th of that and you drop that right in the bucket, man. I mean, everything goes right to the synagogue, right? I mean, you're a Jew's Jew. Nothing unclean. And then here, the Son of God says, hey, go tell that fox. This is what's going to really happen. You want me to leave? You want me to do X, Y, and Z? Yeah, go tell that fox. Go tell that unclean, mischievous creature. No, no, no. This is actually what I'm going to do. So look, things breed forth after their own kind, right? You're born again. If you're saved, you're born again, right? Your Father is the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. You've been saved by the Word of God. Therefore, we have the right to act like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not denying the Trinity, okay? So don't take that out of context and start making clips or whatever. So, but anyways, think about that. Jesus called him a fox, an unclean animal. It's like, oh, I'm a dog. Worse. Who's ever seen little pictures of foxes? Doesn't it always, Caden brought this up the other day. You know, he was like, why do they always look like they're up to something? Right now, obviously, inherently, you know, foxes in the wild, like, there's no, like, mandate, like, to go kill them because they're up to something. They're not, like, robbing banks and stuff. They're just trying to eat. You know, they're beasts. They're just animals. They're just doing what animals do. But for a human, somebody supposedly with the ability to reason, to be referred to as a fox, that's a slap in the face. But it's truth. Because that's how Herod was. I mean, think about Herod, right? Did Herod not steal his brother's what? Wife? Did Herod not give the command to put John the Baptist to death? Because, it gets worse, because he got excited after seeing his niece dance. Think about that for a second. That's pretty weird. That's really weird. See your niece dance. I'm like, I'll give you whatever you want, up to half the kingdom. It's not exactly what he said, but you get the point. What does she say? I want John the Baptist's head. Now, he didn't really want to do it, but he was snared by the oath that he'd made. He said, I'll give you whatever you want. You know, somebody else who gets excited by their own family members, who is a demander and thief. And his name's Joe Biden. So how, tell me again, please, how we don't have the right to call that out, to call it for what it is. He is dirty. He is unclean. He is a fox himself. Go back to John chapter number 10. John chapter 10. So the verse after that in Luke, I'll just read it for you. It says, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that the prophet perish out of Jerusalem. So again, Jesus is saying, I don't care what you want, Mr. So-called ruler. You're nothing but a fox. You're going to get what's coming to you. And my mission will go forth. That's the attitude that we got to have as believers. No matter what these city council people say, no matter what Boise's Queen Connie McLean says, you know what? It doesn't matter. The Word of God has got to be preached. The Word of God has got to be stood up for. Okay, but again, what I'm not advocating for is that we go try to physically overthrow these people. No, they have their own people that are trying to do that to us. Right? Like think about it. Again, let me use this again as an illustration. When we wound up in the news, we had the protesters out here. You all saw the sick, twisted, vile things that they were saying to our women and children. Do we go down to their clubs? Do we go down to their rallies? No, we don't. The church, every believer in here who stands solid Monday through Monday, Sunday through Sunday, on the Word of God, prays, reads the Bible, comes to church, you know, just loves the Lord. I mean, that right there is doing more for the fight than you could possibly imagine. Right? I mean, we as a body of believers are supposed to display the manifold wisdom of God. Go read Ephesians chapter number 3. Okay, that's where the battle is. So again, I'm not advocating for physical violence. Now, I am saying that I will defend myself, and that is biblical, and we've talked about that, okay? But again, let's keep going here. So again, why demander and thief? Why are you saying that? Well, John chapter 10. So we've already gone over the context, the initial context. Obviously, salvation. Jesus is the only way. But within that passage, there's a lot of great insight on definition. Okay, we're going to learn what a thief is, what their intents are. And again, I'm not talking about the guy who's stealing to feed his family or for whatever, okay? I'm not even talking about the kid that's like, this will be fun to go steal a Nestle Crunch bar at the store, okay? I'm not talking about that type of peddly stuff, okay, or peddly stuff. I'm talking about a bona fide thief, and Jesus is going to tell you what that is. So again, look at verse number 10. He says this, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal." So what does that mean, he cometh not? Does that mean he doesn't come? No, he's hell-bent on the next three things that he's going to tell us. The thief has no other agenda. So this type of thief, please understand what we're talking about. This type of thief, he's not like, okay, he's bad today, good tomorrow. You know, he's for salvation today, he's for repenting your sins tomorrow. He's just a little mixed up, a little double-minded. No, that's not what he's talking about here. He says this thief, the thief who comes and says, "Oh, I'm from the Lord. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ," but you better turn from all your sins, or you're going to hell. Okay, that's the type of person that we're talking about here. You know, a lot of this has definite application to these false prophets that are out there. You know, and by the way, let me just say this before we get going here. You know, one of the reasons why Trump failed is because he surrounded himself with false prophets. False prophets like Paula White. Look, if you want to surround yourself with false prophets, you're going to get false results. Okay, because all that did was give the enemies of the Lord a reason to mock. There is millions of videos out there on the internet of people mocking Christianity because of those stupid false prophets out there saying, "Oh, angels are coming. We're putting a hedge of protection on them." God doesn't bless false prophets. They're robbers and they're thieves. Okay, simple concept to understand, but back to definitions here. John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not. So he cometh not but for to steal, number one, and to kill, number two, and to destroy. Okay, so the type of thief that we are talking about here comes only for these three reasons. Okay, now there's a very powerful prince of the power of the air who would definitely fit this bill. Okay, what would his name be? Satan, the devil. The devil comes, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Okay, that is his mission. That is his army's mission. And obviously, they are the ones pulling a lot of the strings with these politicians. But nonetheless, they have found willing and able people to succumb to that agenda. Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's apply this to Dirty Ride and Biden. How does he steal? How much time do we have left on the clock? Okay. I mean, that's really what it boils down to, right? Too much. I mean, yeah. Did he steal votes? Did his people steal votes? That's proven. That's a proven fact. They did. And again, whatever, man. We serve the Lord. We're ambassadors. You know, we're just kind of watching the ship go down. It's like, whatever. I'm going to a better place. We have a better kingdom. We have better rules. Whatever. You know, it's infuriating. But at the same time, when you can maintain the proper mindset, it can save you the anxiety. It can save you a lot of trouble. Okay. But I would definitely say votes. Okay. Let's talk about this. Tax dollars. Now, this fits a lot of politicians. Okay. It's not just him. It's a lot of politicians. But he is definitely stealing our money. And not only stealing it, it's like, if you want to steal, I mean, cool, but don't steal our money and then use it for wickedness. Right? I mean, look, again, the FBI raid on Trump's place. And I'm not advocating for any politicians. I'm just saying that should alarm every single person in this country. That should be a red flag. That we have a demander and thief. We have someone who has hijacked a position of power which God has ordained, which is commonly referred to as the commander-in-chief. He has used his powers, he is using his resources to intimidate and to control the future of this nation. He's trying to get him convicted on that January 6th insurrection so that Trump has no choice to run again. That's the idea. I guess whose tax dollars went to pay for that? Now you say, well, why bring that up? Well, because here's the thing. I can think of several other places that should have been raided before Trump's mansion. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's talk about everyone who was on Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell's little pedophile list. Okay, what about that? I think that would be a better appropriation of our tax dollars than raiding Trump's house. Now, obviously, they didn't find anything substantial because it would have been blown way up by now. Top secret classified documents of all the ship ports and when they're leaving and what they're doing, how many nukes and blah, blah, and the codes. You didn't find any of that. But at the same time, where's that list? Where is the list? I think that's a good question. I think that is worthy. You can steal all my money if you just put that list out there. No problem at all. Okay? What about this? Using these tax dollars and FBI power to control the media to cover up that Hunter Biden laptop and some of the things that have been found on that. And by the way, that has been authenticated now. There's no denying that. There's no denying the wickedness and the things that are on there. His money laundering from Ukraine and China and all this other garbage. Okay? You know what else has been authenticated from his own family? His daughter's diary. That has been authenticated. That is verified. It was stolen. Apparently some guys stole it and they're going to face possibly 5 years in prison or something like that. I don't want to get it too far into that. But guess what? FBI money, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, okay, which is funded by the federal government, funded by our tax dollars, is being used to cover that up. Why? Because there's information on there that confirms Pedo Joe's tendencies. In that diary, and this is confirmed, this is not a lie, this is not a rumor, this is not hearsay. It has been confirmed in that diary that she has talked about inappropriate things like showers with her father. Birds of a feather flock together. Look, I'm telling you, this dude is, you know, with all the other elite pedophiles, this guy, every time you put a little kid in front of him on TV, what is the first thing you do? How is he not a dog?
Right?
Sniffing little kids. There's all kinds of videos. I mean, the visuals are out there. The evidence is out there. But yet someone will say, oh, that Pastor Jones, man, there he goes again. Just being hateful. I hate every false way. In violating children, in violating the office of the higher powers which God established is a false way. And we have the right to feel that way about it. What about stealing the right to free thought? We were listening to clips of him today on the way to church, and you know, Jessica's got a way of pulling stuff like this up, you know, just to get me all stirred up. But you know, he's talking, he's like, you know what's wrong, or you know what's going on with these mega Republicans are destroying the country. Now, I'm not a Republican. I'm a Christian. That's, you know, what political party are you? Leviticus 2013, you know. That's my political party. You know, I'm for that action in Judges 20 where God says, take out the tribe of Benjamin. You know, I'm Genesis 19. I'm Genesis 1:1 all the way through the end of the book of Revelation. That's the political party I go with. You know, I'm a Christian Republican, whatever you want to say. Far worse than a Republican, okay? But he's trying to basically divide the nation. Think about that. You know, the president is supposed to be somebody, though he's left or though he's right or center, whatever he claims to be, is supposed to be somebody who says, hey, this is our nation, this is our country, we do need to stand together, let's try to make it a better place to live, let's try to advance in technology, let's try to, you know, to gain resources, let's try to help the world out, like they keep saying. But what is he saying? And all these video clips, oh, it's these MAGA, you know, Make America Great Again, Republicans' fault. So basically, if you stand against him in anything he says, anything he does, anything he desires, he refers to you as a super MAGA Republican. So he would say that about this church if you ever heard about it. Oh, they're just a bunch of super MAGA Republicans. I think the Republicans are liberals. Yeah. By the Bible standards today, by and large, you know, but I would, you know, you put me in a room full of them, I'd probably get along with them better than the commies, obviously, but you get the point here. So steals votes, tax dollars, stealing the right to free thought. So again, if you don't fall in line with his thoughts, with his wickedness, with his ideology, then you're wrong. And you could possibly need to be re-educated in a camp and blah, blah, blah. Okay, and we already talked about this, stealing truth. Stealing truth, basic truth, man, woman, man, woman. Trying to steal that basic truth. He's trying to steal Genesis 1:1. Tell me again that he's not a terror to good works. Because that is absolutely what he is. He is not a ruler. He is a robber. Okay? So, that, I mean, just, we don't have much time to keep going on about the steal part, but let's talk about kill. How is he a killer? Abortion. What about the babies? And of course, you got these commie reprobate, you know, moms out there, or supposed moms out there. I've had kids and I've had abortions too. It's all good. You're a murderer. That's actual murder. Because that child doesn't have a choice. Even if it did, you still, I mean, it'd still be murder. Joe Biden, I mean, when Texas came out and said, you know, we're done with this abortion stuff, and even in our state, you know, the idea was thrown around out there that he would send trucks, like a taco truck. You know, we're going to make sure that we provide the avenue of women's health care. That's not health care. How is that healthy to murder what God has ordained to happen when you do a certain act? Look, is this too real for you? I mean, I'm just trying to throw some truth out there. He is a murderer. He is a killer. Look, he fits the bill here in John chapter 10. Okay? Not only does he do that, but let's talk about Afghanistan. Okay, let's talk about the $80 billion worth of military equipment that he left in Afghanistan. Let me say that again. Let's talk about the $80 billion worth of military equipment that he left in Afghanistan. How many innocent people were killed and are being killed as a result of that? Yeah, who knows? Did that not kill our economy to a certain degree? I mean, look, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, it's just crazy. And of course, he's not alone. You know, he's definitely not alone. But he definitely fits this bill. He is not the commander-in-chief. He is the demander and thief. He demands it to be his way all the way down to basic thought. Don't you forget that. He demands that you think like he does. That's what he demands. And if the tables were turned, and if they're successful at overthrowing the current government structure that we have, he will get his wish. So we have babies. How does he kill? He kills babies. Innocent people all over the world. You know? I mean, think about all the billions of dollars that they're sending to Ukraine. How many people have been killed as a result of that? What about the family structure? Okay, I'm not going to get too far off on that because I just got done yelling, screaming about that. You know, the whole transistor thing. You know, saying he wants it to be legal for a child to say, you know what, I want to go ahead and have this surgery and you can't stop me, mom and dad. You've killed the family unit when you do that. What about destroy? Constitution, the country, your wallet, the gas prices. I mean, who's heard about what's going on in Europe? They're possibly facing the coldest winter that they've had since, I don't know, 1800s, 1700s, maybe even before that. In an effort for them to be all green and stay green, you know, in an effort to follow the Western leaders' sanctions that he's put on Russia to reject oil, to reject all the resources that come from there. There's a lot of stuff that comes from Russia. Wheat, oil, you know, and that oil doesn't just come to the U.S. It goes to other countries who bring us food and supplies. Okay, so don't forget about that. So you want to talk about destroy, you know, when he came out and said, you know, we need to impose sanctions. Okay, we need to impose sanctions, meaning we need to stop doing business with Russia. We need to stop doing business with them, you know, and we just need to kind of sacrifice ourselves here. He's like, yeah, there's going to be some food shortages. Yeah, there's going to be some, you know, some price hikes at the pump. But we need to pay the price too. How are you not destroying this country? But going back to that whole thing in Europe, what's happening in Europe is this winter, they're saying that probably, I mean, the experts are saying that probably, 70% of restaurants are going to have to close their doors because they will not be able to afford to heat and to cook for people. 70%. And let me also tell you this. If Putin really wanted to, he could probably take Europe within 2 years, especially if he got China involved. this world could go to extreme crap, I mean, very quickly. And again, you shouldn't be scared. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the Word of God. We have our mission. We have our position, which we'll talk about here in a moment. None of this should scare you, but it's good for you to be informed. You need to understand what the Bible says about these issues. The Word of God encompasses everything, okay? But let me just mention this here. Okay, so talked about the sanctions that Biden started off, you know, and of course the Europeans, they want to go the extra mile and take it to an extreme. And so now you got people over there that are going to be starving. People over there will die this winter because they cannot stay warm, because they cannot heat their homes. And guess what Russia's doing? They're burning, what was it, 10 billion or 10 million? 10 billion something dollars worth of oil every single day. Why? Because they have so much, they can't use it, and it's they don't have a place to store it. Think about that. Think about that for a second. Do you think, with everything I've just said, let's just talk about the oil for a second. Think about it. Let's just call it 10 million, because I forgot if it was a million or a billion. Doesn't matter, it's a lot. With them burning that much oil, okay, how good is our military going to be if we have to go do something, or if we have an evasion attempt? Who knows, right? I mean, we don't know. So yeah, but our subs and our carriers are nuclear powered. Yeah, but what about the jet fuel? Okay, not everything's nuclear powered. What about the vehicles and the things that people need to even get to base, to get to work? You know, what about step one? Okay, and this is all because of Pedo Joe, Dirty Riding Biden, the demander and thief. And yes, I acknowledge he's being controlled by other people. I get that. Now, this has been said, and I agree, we've talked about this before. The only possible solution, and what this is all leading to, is, that you get this nation in the West so weak, so deprived of resources and economic power, that the only thing that could happen is a total Chinese takeover. Do the Chinese like the Word of God? Does the Chinese Communist Party like the Bible? If they were to take over a nation, when they take over Taiwan, you think there's going to be missionaries running around throughout the streets like, this is church service, soul winning? No, it's going to go underground again. So that's what's going to happen. Taiwan has no chance in defending themselves against China, by the way. And Pelosi just sent him $1 billion. You know what the budget is for the Chinese military? It's 200 and something billion dollars a year. Okay? Compared to the $19 billion military budget that the Taiwanese have, they don't stand a chance. I'm just saying. So again, I don't want to, we got to move on here, because I'm going to be here all night talking about this. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. We're getting close to being done. So Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to go to Philippians and then Ephesians, and then we will be done, okay? So again, you take those things that we just talked about. John chapter 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Those attributes fit a lot of people. Those attributes fit false prophets, presidents, senators, CEOs, I mean, all sorts of people, okay? All sorts of people, but they definitely fit the demander and thief, 100%. And we have a right to call him what he is. And there's a lot of different words that you can use. You can use fox, you can use dog, pedo, I mean, all kinds of things, right? You know what I mean? As long as it's true, you have that liberty. So, Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse number 8. Let's talk real quickly about some voting wisdom, some citing wisdom. You know, I take the approach, right? You know, if you ambassadors from our country or ambassadors here, you know, they don't come over here and go down to the voting box, right? Just think about that. But Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse number 8. The wisdom of Solomon to his son. Look at verse number 8. He says this, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Verse 10, my son, don't miss this. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You see, it's our job to understand what a sinner is, okay? And the type of sinner that he's talking about here. He's talking about those same sinners that are like the thieves in John chapter 10. Because we're all sinners, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, okay? So with that in mind, he's talking about a different type of sinner. He's talking about the sinner that cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I'll show you that here. So verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Okay? So if a politician who fits the bill of John chapter 10, those attributes, entices you, what does the Bible say? Consent thou not. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. I mean, you see that on all levels. You see that in the public schools. You see that in gangs. You see that in the government. You see that everywhere on the earth. It's no difference in politics. Same thing. Verse 12, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. See, this is, if you think about it here, and you just kind of listen to some of the things that like Newsom, the governor of California, Jay Inslee in Washington, Kate Brown in Oregon, and the list goes on, Dirty Ride Biden. You listen to the things that these people say. They don't come right out and say, this is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to kill everybody and we're going to, you know, just laugh and take the spoil. They use different words. It's our job to have the discernment and the judgment to be able to say, wait a second, going green is not what you think it means, okay? Understand that. Because Europe has spent much time and much money trying to go green, and guess what? They're going to be pretty lean this winter because they ain't got no heat and no food. So, just whatever. Look at verse 14. It says, cast thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. And isn't that not what the message of the commies is? Let us all have one purse. Why are they rich? Eat the rich, right? Eat the rich. Let's get rid of the rich. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Stay away from these types of people. Don't get in their way. Don't stand with them. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. If the laws were different, those protesters in June would have breached these doors and tried to kill every man, woman, and child in this building if they could. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So, don't miss this, verse 19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And there are a lot of people who call themselves Republican, who call themselves conservative, that also fit these bills. It is your job to understand that and to be able to discern that. You say, we shouldn't get involved. Did John the Baptist not get involved? Now, I'm sure John the Baptist didn't wake up one day and say, you know, I'm going to die on this hill of calling out Herod. But he did it, and eventually it came back to bite him. But still, it was a righteous way to go out. Right? Jesus wasn't like, all right, shouldn't have said that. He's like, he's in a better place. He didn't die. He just changed locations. He's gone. Mission complete. That's why Jesus acted the way he did. He's like, oh, he's in prison. Cool. You know, onward. Because he knows. He knows. In the twinkling of an eye, John the Baptist, boom, in heaven. Not like what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach. Oh, you just after this life, it's just annihilation. No. You're either going to heaven because you're saved, or you're going to hell because you're lost. Simple concept. Philippians chapter 2. Again, we're getting very close to being done. Philippians chapter number 2. This is where we're going to get into the final application of the sermon. What is our role in politics? How are we supposed to act in our positions? Let's talk about it. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 12. So Paul's letter to the Philippians, look what he says here in verse number 12. He says, wherefore, my beloved, okay, Philippians 2, look at verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, now what he's, okay, this is what he's not saying. He's not saying that you need to work it out, like, am I saved? I'm lost, saved, lost, saved, lost. Oh, I don't know what it is. Oh, okay. Exercise your salvation. Okay. One of the ways that we work out our salvation is obviously by applying the Bible, but by going soul winning, by preaching the gospel to the lost, getting people saved. I mean, there's all kinds of avenues for that, but we use the word of God with fear and trembling. That's how we work out our muscle, our spiritual muscle, if you will. Look at verse 13. He says, for it is God which worketh in you Right? That you, there's not just a specific person, but you as in the Philippians, you as in the believer, you as in the saved. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Okay? Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Okay, now here's the thing. Let me stop right there real quick. Okay? The conversation between us and the lost regarding politics. For us, if you've been coming here for a while, it should be pretty easy because we don't support anybody that's wicked. We're just like, oh, yeah, I see what your issue is there. See what your issue is there, you know? But we obviously don't consent. We don't just go along to get along. But here's the thing. Okay, somebody who's not saved, obviously, and even people that are saved, you don't want to get into this murmuring, you know, this he said this, she said that, you know, I can't believe they're for this, or they're for that, and these disputings. You never want to do that, especially with someone who's not saved. There are plenty of people out there who have a Biden-Harris sticker or whatever, they voted for him, that can get saved, okay? So you want to remember that, and you want to preserve that, and you want to be able to be a stronger person, somebody of influence who can win that person to Christ, okay? So let me just leave that there, verse 15. So he says all that to say this, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, don't miss this, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That is the goal of the believer. That is our mission. And look, there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. Right? You say, how are we supposed? Well, go look at what the Philippians did. Go look at what the disciples did. I mean, you know who Nero was? We're not the first believers to have to operate in wicked environments. It seems like it, but we're not. Our goal is to be blameless and harmless as the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That means no matter how crooked, how perverse things get, you and I can still be that light in the world. Okay, that is what he's saying. Look at verse 16. Holding forth. How do you do it? Holding forth the word of life. What is the word of life? It's the Bible. It's the word of God. This is how we do it. Look, there is no other way. Anybody who says, you know, we got to kind of squash that Old Testament stuff. We got to rip this out, pluck this out, put this here, go dig this up over there, is nothing but a thief and a robber. Somebody who's trying to do God's mission another way. Because the way we shine as lights in this world, which is crooked and perverse, is by holding forth the word of life, verse 16. Look at the rest of the verse. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Verse 18, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So what is he saying here? People of this sort will have great fellowship together because we have the common understanding and we have the mission. It doesn't matter how crooked and perverse it gets. We need to realize it. We need to process it. But we need to realize we can still shine forth as those lights as long as we hold. What does it mean to hold? Hold something. To carry. You hold the word of life. All of it. Not just part of it. You hold the word of life. You preach the word of life. You agree with the word of life. This whole book is the word of life. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Go to Ephesians 6. We're done. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read for you Proverbs 13:17, which says this, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. A faithful ambassador is health. Okay, somebody who is faithful, somebody who is loyal to the Word of God, okay? Somebody who understands that they are an ambassador. They belong to the nation of God. We are the Israel of God. We are the kingdom of heaven. We are out of this world in that type of capacity. We are ambassadors here in this crooked and perverse nation, and we have a message to the world, which is health. It's supposed to bring health. It should bring health to one another, and it should bring health to the community. Now, obviously, some things that we say don't quite go over so well, but that's okay because it's still the word of life. We're commanded to be instant in season and out of season, but the Bible says a faithful ambassador is health. It's health to you. It's health to the kingdom of God. And guess what? When you get that person saved with that word of life, what is it? That's some spiritual health to that individual, but it's also physical. Because when a person gets saved and they finally realize, hey, it's not about probation. It's not about the works that I'm doing. That is a huge relief off their shoulders. And you're providing them physical health.
But yet we have people today who call themselves rulers that are trying to get that illegal, trying to stop us from preaching the Bible. We're done right here, Ephesians 6:18. Look what it says. Praying always. So Paul's final message to the churches in Ephesus, to all saints, he says, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, this is why we watch. This is why we pray. This is why we discern what's going on in our culture, with politics, with religion, with all sorts of things, because we are watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to know what laws are being proposed. We need to know what laws are being passed so that we can understand how to navigate and be better ambassadors, right? Nobody wants to just go into something completely blind. We want to know what we're facing so we can deal with it. Verse 19, he says this, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. So Paul's like, hey, look, I'm on my way to Rome. You know, I keep telling these guys my testimony. You know, I'm not at full liberty. Nonetheless, I am an ambassador. He is an ambassador. He's telling us something very, very, very important about our position on this planet. We shouldn't get so wrapped up into politics. It's all we do. It's all we think about. You know, and so I hear people say this all the time, and I'm not saying I hate them. Like, oh, we need to start getting into offices and start changing things. No, that's not what changes anything. This world is not our home. We are ambassadors here. The power is in the pulpit. The power is in the pew. The power is with those that are ambassadors that hold the word of life. That's where the power is. That's where the health is. Verse 20, and we're done. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. If you can understand this, look, you will be bold. You understand that you are an ambassador. You have a message from another nation, which is in another world right now, that is coming here. When you realize that and you settle that in your heart, you will be bold. That's the application. That's what he's talking about. And let me leave you with this one more time. The demander and thief is not a ruler, he is a robber. You say, why are you saying that again? Because I know that in about 10 minutes from now, there's going to be comments and people emailing and calling and blah, blah, blah. I can't believe the dirty things, nasty things you said about our president. He's the demander and thief. He is not the commander in chief. He's a fox. He's no different than Herod. In fact, well, he's worse than Herod. I think Herod was a little bit better. At least he enjoyed to hear John the Baptist. All right, that's enough for tonight. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for all the wisdom that you give us every single week in your word. I just pray that you would help us to understand our roles as ambassadors. Help us to fulfill it as a body here locally and wherever you would have us to go. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, amen. Please grab your songbooks one more time this evening and turn to Psalm 266. 266, Honey in the Rock. Oh, my brother, do you know the Savior? On the first. Oh, my brother, do you know the Savior, who is wondrous, kind, and true? He's the rock of your salvation. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Do you walk in the way that's new? Have you drunk from the living fountain? There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Do you pray unto God the Father? What will thou have me to do? Never fear, he will surely answer. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the one.
too many or a few. Say to every fallen brother, there's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you.
Amen. If anyone has questions about their eternal destination, about salvation, or any more questions about the church, feel free to talk to one of the brothers before you leave, or talk to Pastor Jones, and we'll be sure to help you out with that. Let's have Brother Caden, would you close the service with a word of prayer, please?
All right. Dear Lord, thank you for this time we have to hear your word be preached. I ask that you please help us to retain what we learned tonight. I ask that you'd also please bless the fellowship and our travels home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.